we'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. 5 o'clock poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole.
We'll go fishing in the crawfish
hole.
Down in 5 o'clock poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line,
I get a pole.
We'll go fishing
in the crawfish hole.
Down in
5 o'clock poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
WCBM Baltimore is Talk Radio 680 AM and 99.9 FM in Harford County, Baltimore.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fighting ramping up in Gaza as Israeli strike hit a school, killing at least 17 people, including women and children sheltering at the facility, according to Palestinian medical officials. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Qatar today and before leaving for London, telling reporters there's a renewed push to start talks to end the war in Gaza and release the hostages held by Hamas.
I anticipate that our negotiators will be getting together in the coming days.
Blinken also announcing another $135 million in humanitarian aid for Palestinians. Presidential candidates taking their message to swing states. Kamala Harris will be back in Georgia today. Donald Trump returning to Arizona and Nevada, both courting undecided voters. Jobless claims fell last week, a reverse of what economists expected and signaling a resilient labor market. Mortgage rates, though, still on a roller coaster ride. The average rate on a 30-year home loan edging up to 6.54%. This is ABC News. Federal prosecutors are asking for the maximum sentence for a convicted killer who used TV to help him commit crimes.
When Corey Martin wanted to know how to cover up a grisly crime and dispose of a murder victim's dismembered body, he turned to television, watching The First 48 and Dexter for tips.
I like doing things properly.
Martin will be sentenced in Brooklyn federal court for murdering a sex worker, Brandy Odom, as part of a life insurance scam. Prosecutors have asked for a life sentence. Odom's head and naked torso were found at a park in 2018. Her arms and legs were discovered nearby. Martin acted as Odom's pimp, and prosecutors said he plotted a further profit from her by taking out a life insurance policy and then murdering her to collect the proceeds. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Sentencing set for November 6th. Standing on one leg is a good test of your health, especially as you age, because balance reflects how the body's systems are working together. That study found people under 70 should be able to stand on one leg for 30 seconds. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I'm Tiffany, founder of Harlem Pilates. When I couldn't find Pilates in my neighborhood, I started a studio from my studio apartment. Chase Inc. helped me grow from one Pilates studio to three. Because when you start small, you're going to need some big help.
With the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card, you can earn up to 5% cash back on business essentials, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for Business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayland. Many people are preparing their properties for the upcoming deer season, and DNR wildfire prevention specialist Catherine Cooley says they're seeing an uptick in fires caused by people operating power equipment.
I have an uptick in the number of equipment fires right now, and these are causing some sparks. They're happening kind of in more remote areas, and they're kind of sneaking around, and we're not getting to them because we don't know that they're happening. And then they kind of evolve into larger fires.
There are steps people can take to lessen the risks.
We typically have lesser winds and higher humidity in the morning or late in the evening. So, you know, if you could try to avoid operating equipment in the peak of that fire day, so kind of that 1 to 4 o'clock is really when we really see the winds really gusting and that humidity kind of bottom out. You know, have a fire extinguisher handy or water source.
For the most current fire danger situation, search Wisburn on the DNR homepage. a human case of West Nile virus in western Wisconsin. Public health officials say the case was confirmed in Eau Claire County. It's the county's only case so far this year. It'll likely remain the only one as mosquito season winds down. West Nile is transmitted by mosquito bites and can be dangerous to people with weakened immune systems or other complications. Saturday is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Attorney General Josh Call says take-back events are happening all across the state.
In Wisconsin, we're really fortunate to have a great partnership among DOJ, our State Department of Health Services, county health departments across the state, and local law enforcement agencies. This is a convenient way for Wisconsinites to safely dispose of unused and unwanted medications and help keep our communities safe.
Visit the Department of Health Services website at dhs.wisconsin.gov for more information. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
I'm Terry Schoonover, candidate for Assembly in District 29, which runs along the Mississippi River from Trempealeau in the south to Prescott in the north and over to Blair in the east. For 20 years, I worked in emergency management. I learned you can't do it by yourself. You have to listen. You have to work with all the agencies that have a piece of the action. You have to respect each other. I want to take that experience to Madison, help break the gridlock, get people working together, get stuff done. I'd appreciate your vote for Assembly on November 5th, paid for by Schoonover for 8029, Bill Brueger, Treasurer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlow. Winds whipping out of the south today are shoving us to highs in the low 60s. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a cold front approaches, bringing widespread rain of around a quarter of an inch. It'll push in this evening, but be gone by tomorrow. More sunshine will return with cooler highs in the upper 50s. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And in the headlines quite a bit with his Make America Healthy Again efforts. We'll talk about that with a longtime friend of AgriTalk, and we will talk about the dietary guidelines out there. And don't forget, we are going college roadshowing to the University of Minnesota.
Live from the 10th 24 of 24 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Rex Bernardo from the University of Minnesota. Then it's Professor Dr. Kevin Folta from the University of Florida. And later we'll wrap up with Dr. Shalene McNeil from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Directly following the news, Neville Spears from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much.
That was a long one. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little hoarse after that.
I'm looking at this lineup and thinking to myself, we've got Neville Spear, we've got Bernardo, we've got Folta, we've got McNeil, all on one show today. I got to admit, I kind of lit a fuse with a very simple question. Very simple question. I kind of lit a fuse on Kevin yesterday afternoon. I was just kind of testing him out, seeing if he had anything that he would want to add to the conversation about RFK Jr.'s thoughts on Make America Healthy Again. And let's just say that he does. He's got some thoughts on it.
Well, good. Okay. Good. I can't wait to hear him.
Yeah, I can't wait to get him in here either. And then we're going to talk plant breeding, corn breeding specifically, with Dr. Rex Bernardo. That's coming up in the next segment. And then, good grief, this dietary guideline announcement, or I shouldn't say that it's an announcement. I need to figure out exactly what it is. And we've got Dr. Shalene McNeil from National Cattlemen's Beef Association is going to help us do that at the end of the show.
Excellent.
It's chilly out there today, only 46 degrees. It's only going to be about 60, and they say, I don't know if I believe it or not, but they say it's going to rain tonight.
Really? It still does that?
Yeah. Well, it kind of did that earlier this week, barely. I mean, barely. Yeah. But they say it's going to rain this week, or it's rain tonight.
Hold on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
They're saying rain for us today as well. Huh. Mm. How do you like that? I don't know.
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. What do you got in the news, man?
Well, I'm going to start with the weather. Pleasant weather
will continue across most of the country through the end of the week. Although I would argue a little rain would be pleasant at this point.
Yes.
Well above average temperatures will continue over the central and southern United States. Here in KC, we're headed for a high of 85 degrees today, mid-60s tomorrow.
Man.
Private exporters.
Seriously?
Reported the... Yeah, 85 today. Man. I don't know if we'll get there.
Okay.
It's hot. Private exporters reported the following sales activity. 227,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to Japan. That's for the 24-25 marketing year. Also, 165,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations for 24-25. And 198,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. I'm missing China here, Chip.
Yeah, well, are we? Are we missing China there?
Are we?
It could be one of the unknown destinations. We don't know that.
We don't know. All three major stock indices finished with losses yesterday after failing to trade in positive territory at all during yesterday's session. Chip, several European Union member states eager to limit Moscow's revenues have been urging the bloc to impose sweeping levies on ag and fish imports from Russia and Belarus into the EU, on top of the higher duties on grain products set earlier this year. Others have urged caution, asking to assess the impact of any measures on European imports and food prices first.
Yeah, and if Putin is bringing in North Korean troops to engage in the battle in Ukraine, I would guess that there's going to be more and more EU sanctions on Russia going forward.
Yeah. Well, at the BRICS summit in Kazan, Russia, Russian President Vladimir Putin introduced a new international payments framework aimed at reducing reliance on the U.S. dollar, which he accused of being used as a weapon by Western powers. The proposed system, known as BRICS Bridge, would utilize blockchain tokens and digital currencies as an alternative to the SWIFT system.
Yeah, everybody out there that is for some reason still thinking that BRICS is just kind of a concept, some loosely tossed together thought. It's not. You guys, this is a real thing. This is an all-out effort led by Russian President Putin to have a kind of, you know, a new world order out there. So pay attention here, guys.
Yeah, they're not fooling around here with this.
No.
And then there's this. At the Bloomberg B20 event in Sao Paulo, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai urged Brazil to weigh the risks of joining China's Belt and Road Initiative. Tai encouraged Brazil to assess the economic impact through risk management perspective, emphasizing the importance of economic resilience. And Chip, this Belt and Road Initiative here, alongside the BRICS aspirations, the two would need to work together, I feel like, in order to get either one of them done.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm with you, man. With you 100%. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. Go ahead. Yep. Let's go.
You sure? Let's go ahead and
we'll
do
save
it. Let's
we'll
go ahead and do it. Let's bring in Neville Spear, contributing editor at Drovers. Hey, Neville, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Chip. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, my friend. Talk to me about carcass weights. What's the average?
Well, Thursday is carcass weight day. It's the actual slaughter numbers that we get from USDA. Last week, steer carcass weights were 950 pounds. We continue to just kind of add weight and do more with less. And, you know, we get a lot of questions about how come this market hasn't run because we should be short on supply. That's the very reason. We just continue to add weight to these cattle and make them bigger. And that's a pretty remarkable landmark that we hit last week.
Well, yeah. And Neville, everybody needs to realize that's the average. That's not the heaviest of the carcass weights. That's the average.
Chip, that's exactly right. 950-pound average, right? So we know that there's a big top end to that. And you know, there was a time when 950 pounds was the upper limit and you used to get a discount for carcasses that big. It's really remarkable, right? But that's what cheap corn and tight numbers does. We figure out a way to continue to produce beef. It's an amazing story. Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, it used to be those big carcasses like that. They, like you said, they got the discount, and you heard all the you can't have the carcasses dragging on the floor off the hooks and all that. We got to rescale. Well, all the plants have been rescaled to handle these bigger carcasses, right?
That's exactly right. And then what they're telling you is, hey, keep bringing them that way because we need right. throughput. And so it's really also right. a very positive story about beef demand. Yeah. It's really
a positive story about beef demand, beef genetics, and the ability of that animal to carry the weight. It's all a remarkable story, Neville. Well, I'm sure that we're going to talk more about it as time goes on. Thanks, buddy. Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Okay, Chip. Thank you.
All right. Get more on this story and a lot more that is happening in the beef industry from Neville Spear, contributing editor at Drovers. At www.drovers.com. All right, coming up next, we're talking corn breeding with Dr. Rex Bernardo from the University of Minnesota next.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
More moisture, more money, no problems with the End Zone Bin System from Farm Shop MFG.
You save your money on your crew. You don't have to have them coming out to start your fans and turn them off. And it's free money you're adding back to your crop. Who doesn't want to add more money back into your crop?
Call 712-520-6061.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA Trade Show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, and it is time to hit the road again on the Farm Journal College Roadshow. Big thank you to Bex for making the roadshow possible again this year. And don't forget, you'll get full roadshow coverage from the University of Minnesota this weekend on U.S. Farm Report with Tyne Morgan. Let's talk about some of the really cool things that are happening at the University of Minnesota with Dr. Rex Bernardo. Dr. Bernardo is a professor and endowed chair in corn breeding and genetics for the Golden Gophers, and he joins us right now. Rex, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. I hope you are fine, too, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad that you are here. Hey, before we talk specifically about corn breeding, talk to me about the agronomy department there at the University of Minnesota, and what should young people that are taking agronomy there expect when they get started?
Well, agriculture, as we all know, is an exciting field to be in. It's an exciting field to study today. And sometimes I wish I were young again so I could be a student again, but that's wishful thinking, of course, because there's a lot of things that a young person can learn by coming to the University of Minnesota and coming to our Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics. We do research on plant breeding, how to improve crops to feed the world and sustain the world. We are into agroecology. We're into crop production, cropping systems. We use a lot of technologies in the work that we have today, technologies that were not around when I first started my career. So I think it's a very exciting time for young and enthusiastic students to study agriculture. And I hope that young students come and give us and check us out and see what the opportunities are.
Yeah. Okay. One of the themes that has been running through the College Roadshow conversations that we have been having this fall is that the young people that are coming in and just getting started in their post high school education, is that the way that they expect to be educated is a little different than what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Are you experiencing that?
Yes, I think so. I think we're seeing, again, just the field changing, the generations changing. We have a lot of young students, for example, who are very media, social media savvy, internet technology savvy. And hey, when I was a student, guess what? I went to lectures and took notes. And that's perhaps not the mode now. There's a lot more interaction that takes place in the inside the classroom, a lot more hands-on kinds of activities. And there's a lot more things that one can study. You know, for example, I teach a course on coffee. It's been really well received, and this coffee course has been a wonderful opportunity to introduce students to food and agriculture and supply chain and climate change and all sorts of things. So, yes, compared to just 5-10 years ago, there has been a lot of changes for the positive, I think, in the education and learning that we have at the university.
There, you just said it, for the positive. It sounds to me like you enjoy this. You're embracing this and running with it.
Yes, that is correct. I'm running with it, and I, you know, there's this quote that I like that says, in times of change, the learners inherit the earth, but the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. So I think we all need to be learners and because we'll be experts in a world that no longer exists otherwise.
Wow. That's really, really good. I love it. I love it. Okay, well, let's talk about someone that was very much learned 100 years ago, and that is Henry Wallace. Is there anything left in corn breeding that Henry Wallace would be able to look at and say, yeah, that makes sense to me? You know, or is the traditional plant breeding almost a thing of the past?
Well, it's funny how our definition of traditional plant breeding changes over the years. Because there was a time, for example, when DNA fingerprints came to the fore, the technology became available, and we had this distinction of a traditional plant breeder and a modern plant breeder who uses DNA fingerprint technology. And now these DNA fingerprints are routinely used in corn breeding. That if you talk about a traditional plant breeder or a classical plant breeder, well, that is a person who now uses this technology. And in fact, it will be strange for one to not use it because of the help that it provides. But it's quite interesting. You mentioned Vice President Henry Wallace, and what a visionary, right? To see that hybrid coin is a thing. It's, for me, it's kind of mind-boggling to imagine that there was a time when even hybrid coin was a new thing. And now, 100 years later, it's part of everyday farm life. And it is, we're not used to a world with no hybrid coin. And so we see a lot of changes, and these changes, the useful things, they get incorporated in the way that we do things. And yes, at the end of the day, the objective is still to produce a corn hybrid that farmers can grow profitably and sustainably. And yet the ways that we now breed corn are quite different from the ways that corn was bred even just a few decades ago.
Right, right. Okay, so in modern breeding, what has you most excited? What techniques are holding the most promise to advance the effort the greatest?
Well, I don't think there's any one technique, and it really is a multiple different techniques that have come kind of one by one over the years. I fondly call them as power tools in plant breeding. You know, power tools, you could have just a hand hammer or saw, and you could do the job, but you can do the job more quickly and more efficiently and perhaps more uniform quality if you have an electric saw or an electric drill or something like, you know, power tool like that. And I think it's the same way in corn breeding, that yes, basically we still cross one good parent by another good parent, and we hope we get progeny lines that perform well. And but the tools that we have to identify what those good parents are have changed markedly over the years. So I mentioned DNA fingerprints. That is one tool that we now have. Corn breeders and breeders of other plant species now use drones to take photos and measurements of plants that we have, not just at any one point in the season, not just at one point in the season, but multiple time points in the season. A simple tool that we now have is the use of greenhouses year-round, or now we can ship our corn to Hawaii or Puerto Rico, so we can have multiple generations per year. And what that does is that it increases the genetic progress per unit time, so to speak, because of, instead of having only one generation, you know, planting corn in April or May and harvesting it in the fall, now we can grow three or four generations a year. And so that speeds up the process. And so yeah. You know, a lot of my work then deals with these different tools that we have. How do we all use them together so that the breeding process can be as effective and efficient as possible?
Okay. Okay. How predictable is corn breeding now? I mean, if you set out for a specific result, how likely are you to get that result?
Oh, that's a great question. I liken corn breeding now, and also soybean breeding for that matter. It's more like, it's kind of like a factory process. So in a factory, we manufacture something, we have some raw material, it goes through a manufacturing process, it goes through quality control, and we release and market the good product in the end. And in a way, breeding has in many ways become like that, that it is a controlled, there's a process, there's a pipeline. But the non-predictability happens when you have pollen grain fertilizing an egg and you form a new individual. And of course, we cannot control what genes end up in that pollen and what genes end up in the egg. And so the genes in the individual, that we're at the mercy of Mother Nature. But there's some work right now that is being done to control a little bit of that process so that the outcomes would even be more predictable. What has happened too is there's now a lot of computer simulation of the entire process. So that entire breeding process, we can try to simulate that on a computer and try to see, well, what would the outcome be if I, you know, grow 50 progeny or 100 progeny or 200? Right. And so we can ask these what-if kinds of questions to see what the outcomes might be.
You know, I feel like we could talk forever, but we are out of time. Thank you so much for your time today, Professor Bernardo, and go Gophers this weekend against the Terps from Maryland, all right?
You bet.
All right. That is Dr. Rex Bernardo, professor and endowed chair in corn breeding and genetics at the University of Minnesota. It's amazing just how much progress and how many advancements we have witnessed in a relatively short period of time when it comes to plant breeding. Okay, RFK Jr., Make America Healthy Again. It has generated a multitude of reactions. We're going to get one from Dr. Kevin Fulton next.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC,